Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn. We are in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, getting ready for the Vikings game on Sunday against the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. It's been a while since the Vikings traveled to Oakland. In fact, 2003 was the last time they were there. I'm not sure what happened. There was some sort of scheduling quirk. The last time the Vikings were supposed to play at Oakland, they did not play at Oakland in the regular season, but they finally return and play in Oakland on Sunday. Remember, it's a different start time for those of you in the Central Time Zone. You're used to the Vikings starting at noon Central Time. This one will be at 3:05 Central Time, 1:05 out on the West Coast, which is where the Vikings will be, and they'll be there a day early. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer deciding way back before the season started, before the preseason started, that he's going to switch it up on this road trip and have his team travel out to California a day ahead of time to get acclimated to the time zone, perhaps, or just to switch up the road trips, perhaps. But this is not an uncommon thing for NFL teams to do. Teams out on the West Coast traveling to the East Coast and vice versa oftentimes leave on Fridays. The Seattle Seahawks have made a habit of it. The San Francisco 49ers do it a bunch as well. Now, the Vikings haven't had to do it. They're in the Central Time Zone, so they're fairly close to anywhere they have to go. But Mike Zimmer deciding to go that route this week, so it'll be interesting to see how things play out, and then if Coach Zimmer believes that their travel schedule played into anything that ended up happening in the game. All that, though, is for another day. Let's talk about this Vikings and Raiders matchup. It's a matchup of two new contenders of sorts. You have two teams that were well out of the playoff picture 2 years ago, a Vikings team that crept a little bit closer last year, a Raiders team that was still well out of it a year ago, but this year, right in the thick of it. In fact, the Vikings tied with the Green Bay Packers atop the NFC North at 6-2, the Oakland Raiders in second place in the AFC West at 4-4, but very much in the thick of it in the AFC wildcard race. So a very important game for both of these teams. Both teams kind of looked at as a surging team, a young team on the rise, teams with coaches early in their tenures with both squads, teams with young quarterbacks, and teams with a lot of young talent at very important spots. So two new contenders will meet up on Sunday in Oakland. Let's talk about some of the key players and some of the symmetry that these two teams have in recent drafts. For the Vikings, you have Teddy Bridgewater and Anthony Barr, both taken in the 2014 draft, both taken in the first round. Barr, number 9 overall, Bridgewater, number 32. The Raiders that same year took Khalil Mack at number 5. So the Raiders take Mack at number 5, the Vikings take Barr at number 9, and then the Vikings end up taking Teddy Bridgewater at number 32. 4 picks later, the Raiders take their quarterback, Derek Carr, at number 36. So you have Mack and Barr separated by 4 picks, and you have Carr and Bridgewater separated by 4 picks. Fast forward to this year's draft, Amari Cooper, the Raiders' dynamic, talented young receiver, taken number 4 overall. The Vikings found a gem as well at wide receiver in this draft with Stephon Diggs, taken at number 146 overall, a fifth-round pick. So both of these teams identifying similar spots on their rosters in the last two drafts and making a lot of solid draft picks, and all of those players coming onto the field the same weekend here on Sunday in Oakland. Another connection between these two teams, how about some coaching connections? You have the Oakland Raiders head coach is Jack Del Rio, former Minnesota Vikings linebacker from 1992 to 1995. Another former Viking player from the early 90s, Mike Tice, a tight end for the Vikings from 1992 to 93, and then again in 1995. Also an assistant coach under Dennis Green from 1996 to 2001, and then a head coach of the Vikings from 2002 to 2005. He is the Raiders offensive line coach. And then you have current Raiders offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave was the Vikings offensive coordinator from 2011 to 2013. So a lot of former Vikings players and coaches on this Oakland Raiders coaching staff. They'll go up against their former team on Sunday. All right, let's go to some of the current players on each team and what they're doing on the field. If you look at the dominant phase of each of these teams, this is what it would be. For the Raiders, you have offense, one of the hottest offenses going in the NFL right now. They've scored 34 or more points in each of their last three games, and their average points scored in each of the last three games is just over 35. That's about as good as it gets in the NFL. It was just a year ago, though, when this Raiders offense was one of the worst in the NFL. In 2014, the Raiders were 30th in points per game at 14.9, and they were last in the league in yards per game. This season, for the season, they are 4th in points per game at 26.6, so an increase of 12 points per game this year over last year. They're 8th in yards per game, nearly a 100-yard difference per game for this Oakland Raiders offense from last year to this year. So a unbelievably market improvement for this Raiders offense from one year to the next. The Vikings defense. Let's go back 2 years ago, 2013, one of the worst defenses in Vikings franchise history. Mike Zimmer comes aboard in 2014. They make huge strides, moving from last in the league in all, or near last in the league in every major statistical category. They move all the way up to 11th in points per game last year and 14th in yards per game. This season, another big improvement for the Vikings. They've gone from 11th in points per game last year to tied for second this year. They've gone from 14th in yards per game allowed last year to 7th in yards per game allowed this year. So huge improvements made by each of these teams. For the Raiders, huge improvement on offense. For the Vikings, huge improvement on defense. And these two units will meet on the field on Sunday. A very cool and dynamic matchup to watch. If you dig a little bit deeper, what's the crucial down in the NFL? It's third down. Vikings defense, second-ranked third down defense in the NFL. Raiders offense, 10th-ranked third down offense in the NFL. So something's got to give here on Sunday. It will be fun to watch these two units go against each other, these two coaching staffs try and battle each other on Sunday. Now, what is the key to the Raiders' offensive explosion in the last 3 weeks? Let's lay it out for you. A win over San Diego, 37 points. A win over the Jets, 34 points. And a loss to the Steelers, 35 points. Now, if you dig a little bit deeper and look at the numbers, here's what I think it is. I think it's outstanding play from the quarterback, Derek Carr, and very good play from the offensive line. Derek Carr, in his last 111 dropbacks, has thrown just one interception and has been sacked just one time. Outstanding protection of the ball by the Oakland Raiders. You got to give credit to Derek Carr and to the offensive line for that. And even more credit to the offensive line here. If you look at when the to-go distance is between 0 and 4 yards, which means it's an obvious running down, what are the Oakland Raiders doing rushing yards per carry? A full 2 yards per carry better than the NFL average. They're getting 5.3 yards per carry in obvious rushing situations. That tells me that the Raiders' offensive line is able to impose their will against the defense. They can run the ball when they need to. They're protecting the quarterback. The quarterback is protecting the ball, and he's throwing for explosive gains. That's the key to this offense for the Oakland Raiders. So to me, what that means for the Vikings defense is you got to play team defense. It takes all 11 guys playing well to play good defense, but I think it starts up front for the Vikings defense. That Vikings defensive line has to be on point this weekend. They have to try and disrupt what the Raiders are doing up front, because if you don't, they're going to protect Derek Carr. He's going to stand back there in the pocket, and he's going to find his receivers all day long, just as he's done to the last three defenses that have tried to stop him. Now, key for the Vikings defense is third down defense. They've given up more than 20 points only once this season. That was 23 points to Denver. Their average opponent total points scored in a game is 17.5, second behind only Denver. The Vikings have been very good on third downs. If you look at the last 8 possessions for the St. Louis Rams last weekend, 6 of those 8 possessions ended in punts. Vikings are getting off the field at an incredibly high rate on third downs. Now, they're not creating a bunch of turnovers, but I guess if you're getting off the field on third down a bunch, you're facing fewer snaps from the opposing offense, and your chance to create a turnover is going to go down. But you got to give the Vikings defense a lot of credit for getting off the field on third down. Negative plays is going to be a huge factor in this game when it comes to the Raiders offense and the Vikings defense. If you look at the Raiders offense when it comes to negative plays, in the last 3 games, which has been 188 snaps, the Raiders have just 13 negative plays. That's 6.9%. The Vikings defense, on the other hand, if you look over the last 3 games, they've created 30 plays where the offense gained 0 or negative yards. So something's got to give here when these two teams match up on the field on Sunday. As we know by now, Mike Zimmer listens to the Wobcast, so Coach, this is the time of the show where you take out your pen and paper, because we have a checklist item for you in case you missed it in last week's late week Wobcast. We went through a checklist that you could create to help motivate your team. This week, it's you can't win on the West Coast. Vikings, 0 wins and 4 losses in their last 4 games on the West Coast dating back to 2008. You have to go all the way back to 2007 to find the Vikings' last victory on the West Coast. So you want to motivate your team, coach? You tell them that they can't win out on the West Coast. Vikings 0-4 in their last 4 regular season games on the West Coast. Time to exercise those demons this week in Oakland. Let's take a look at the injury report for both teams. Never a fun thing to talk about, but at this stage of the season, they're definitely becoming a factor. We'll start with the Raiders. Their star wide receiver, Amari Cooper, dealing with a quadriceps. We don't think it'll keep him from playing, but nonetheless, he's listed on the injury report, and his practice time is being affected because of it. Rodney Hudson injured his ankle in last week's game against the Steelers, was not able to finish the game. That is one that definitely bears watching. Rodney Hudson, very key to what they do offensively. He is their starting center. He was a big free agent signing. They signed him away from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a big reason why this offensive line is playing so well, why the offense has been as explosive as it is. An athletic center who can get out in front of runs and pull, which is a unique thing from the center position. Very good pass protector as well. Probably the heart and soul of that group. I'm not around that team in that locker room, but I'd have to imagine he's one of those guys. And then Latavius Murray, the Raiders' starting running back, had a concussion in last week's game, so he's going through the NFL's concussion protocol, has not been participating in practice. Now, for the Vikings, the good news is it looks like Teddy's progressing through the concussion protocol. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer has been optimistic about his chances of getting through the protocol in time for Sunday's game. Of course, you never know until 90 minutes before the game, but we're optimistic Teddy is going to be able to play. We're also optimistic that Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks will be able to make it on Sunday. Of course, Barr dealing with a hand injury that he sustained in last week's game. Eric Kendricks did not play in last week's game because of a ribs injury that happened against the Chicago Bears. So we hope Barr can keep going, and we hope Kendricks can make it back. Also for the Vikings defense, Sharif Floyd has missed the last several games with a leg injury, and he looks to be making his way back. He's been practicing a little bit this week, and hopefully he can go on Sunday. If he can't go on Sunday, things looking good for him to go against the Packers next week. Time for a regular segment on the late week edition of the Wobcast. Player we should be talking about. This is a player we're not talking about currently, but a player we should be talking about. For the suggestion, we go to Nate Vaughn.
For this player, we'll keep it right there in the middle level of the defense. We talked about Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks probably being able to play this weekend, but even if they do, it's safe to say probably not at 100% health.
Okay.
So if that's the case, and if either of them is a no-go all of a sudden for this game, one guy we might look to is number 52, Chad Greenway.
Indeed.
And that's exactly what they did last week, when Eric Kendricks couldn't start, and then Audie Cole went out with his season-ending injury. Chad Greenway all of a sudden became a very, very important player in the Vikings defense.
Nate, I mean, Chad has been with the Vikings for 10 seasons, and he did something. So, I mean, through 10 seasons, you're going to say, you know, he's probably seen and done it all, right? I mean, 10 seasons, 16 games a season, plus some playoff games. But he did something on Sunday he's never done.
What's that, Wobby?
He played middle linebacker. So, I mean, yeah, Chad Greenway is a player we should be talking about. And listen, he's not doing things at a dominant level like Linval Joseph is doing. He's not a young, rising, up-and-coming guy who might be one of the best at his position in Harrison Smith. He's not a super freak athletic, do everything on the defense, perfect fit for Mike Zimmer linebacker like Anthony Barr. But this guy is nuts and bolts, wear a hard hat, bring your lunch pail, glue of the team, leader in the locker room. That's what Chad Greenway is. Played 74 snaps last week against the Rams. Do you know how many defensive snaps there were in the game?
I'm going to say not many more than 74.
74. He played every defensive snap last week, some of them at middle linebacker once Audie Cole left the game, had 12 tackles, one tackle for a loss, was all over the place, and you got to give him a ton of credit for the way he played, where he played, doing it basically on a whim. And I mean, the three linebacker positions are not interchangeable positions. I mean, in a 4-3 defense, the three linebacker positions do three different things. Greenway played in the base as an outside linebacker, was playing in nickel because Kendricks was out. Then Audie Cole goes out. So now Greenway slides from outside linebacker to the middle and base, keeps his role in nickel. So outstanding job last week by Chad Greenway. And this could be another game where he plays a little bit more than we're used to seeing him play so far this season, because as you said, Barr and Kendricks both could be a little bit short of 100%. So, but Chad has shown if you need to lean on him, you can lean on him. He can handle it. All 74 snaps last week led us in tackles with 12. So definitely a player we should be talking about. Number 52, Chad Greenway. Let's go outside of the walls of Winter Park and get some outsider viewpoint on this Vikings-Raiders matchup. To do that, we go to the NFL Network preview with Mark Istook and former NFL running back Maurice Jones-Drew. They took a look at this matchup. What does MJD think? You might not like it.
Getting ready for Week 10, I'm Mark Istook alongside Maurice Jones-Drew, who's joining me. And Maurice, according to your bio here, you played for the Oakland Raiders.
At one point.
All right. Well, they take on the Minnesota Vikings in Week 10. So are you going to be able to give us an unbiased view of how they'll perform in this game?
I'm going to tell you the best of what I see.
All right. We'll see. We'll start off on the opposite team, the Minnesota Vikings. Looking at them, how do they get a win against Oakland?
Feed AP. You have to run the ball. You feed AP, it opens up your passing game. It lets your young receivers go out there and make plays. This guy right now has 23 carries for runs over 10 yards. That leads the league right now. He's playing at an all-time high. For some reason, he has it. He has, like, this. I don't know what it is about him. Look at him. He's just so mean. He's just out there trying to make a statement. You keep making those statements. Because the more he makes them, the better they'll be.
Yeah. Earlier, we talked about this before. Earlier this season, that first game out of the chute, it looked like he just wasn't quite ready. Lately, though, he's been running like a man on a mission.
Well, it wasn't his fault. He's a guy that has to run out of the eye. He can't run out of shotgun. He's not built for that. So you put him in the eye, you let him and force his will on defenses, and it opens up your passing game for your young quarterback, your young receivers. I think that's going to be the best way for them to succeed against these Oakland Raiders.
Okay, so if you are a Raiders fan, what are you keying on as a way your team can get a victory?
You know what? Turnovers. Limit the turnovers. 4 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right here, Latavius Murray, you have to protect yourself when you're in the alley. That's just a tough play. You always have to protect yourself. Carr, be careful with the ball. Lineman blocks for Carr. If you don't turn the ball over, Carr, you guys are 4-0. When you do turn over, you're 1-4. That's key. That's key right there. And he needs help. It's not like he's throwing the ball, just picks and things like that. Guys are going off of guys' hands, other things. I mean, again, be careful with the ball. The more you take care of the ball, the better chance you get. I think the Raiders bounce back this week, though, with the turnovers.
Okay.
They don't turn it over.
Are you seeing the kind of development in Derek Carr that you want to see?
I saw it last year, to be honest with you. I mean, when you have a young quarterback, the key is for them to stay in the pocket. Take those hits in the pocket, get comfortable, because your offensive line has to understand where you're going to be. If you look at Tom Brady and you watch what he doesn't move out of a 2-yard radius. You know, it's 2 yards left, 2 yards right, 2 yards front, 2 yards back. This is where he's going to do most of his damage, unless he runs. Mm-hmm. Carr's the same way. You can see he's getting more comfortable doing that. The receivers are understanding where they're supposed to be. The offensive linemen are doing their job as well. Carr right now, his game is just starting to get better and better and better every day, every week we see him play.
Before the season started, looking at the Week 10 schedule, you might not have circled this matchup, but it's turned out to be a pretty good one. Who's your pick?
You see the shirt I'm wearing? You see what it says? Let me show you. There it goes. There it is.
In case you're watching this on a black and white television set, those are Raiders colors.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're stuffing the run right now. And if Minnesota doesn't have a run game, it's over.
All right.
I like the Raiders this week.
Oakland victorious in Week 10, according to the guy wearing the Raiders colors.
Well, MJD would know. He was an Oakland Raider recently. That's where he went to finish his career after a great career with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But we certainly hope MJD is wrong. D'Angelo Williams and the Pittsburgh Steelers certainly think he was wrong. They ran all over this Oakland Raiders defense. But the Raiders do get a couple of key players back on their defense. That could make a big difference. And they are playing at home. We know that makes a big difference as well. But if the Vikings are going to hit the road, go out to the West Coast, get another road victory, you know the running game is going to have to be key. It's been the Vikings' identity ever since 2007 when Adrian Peterson was drafted. That's not going to change this week. Of course, you want Teddy Bridgewater and the passing game to emerge. But in order to do that, you're probably going to have to establish the run, make the Raiders respect the running game. Remember, Adrian Peterson is the NFL's leading rusher right now. Hopefully he can stay on that pace, because if he does, it should open some things up in the secondary for Teddy Bridgewater and the passing game. Let's talk more Oakland Raiders. To do that, we're going to take a segment from Vikings game plan called the DraftKings Extra Point. In this segment, we usually have someone from the opposing team or from the media market from the opposing team talk about this game and how they see it. But this week, we had a little bit of a twist. Our friend Paul Charchian, the godfather of fantasy football, as they call him, he did his best to take a close look at this Oakland Raiders team and tell us what he thinks is going to happen on Sunday.
Normally, I'm a Viking fan, but today I represent the adversary, the Oakland Raiders. We begin by talking about the Raiders' offensive line. Under the tutelage of former Viking head coach Mike Tice, they've actually got one of the best offensive lines in football. Their left tackle, Donald Penn, has been fantastic. Their left guard, Gabe Jackson, might be the best guard in football. Derek Carr getting sacked on just 3% of his dropbacks. That is the third best number in the entire NFL and represents a real challenge for the Vikings' defensive line that's accustomed to getting a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Speaking of Derek Carr, quietly should be in the conversation for league MVP. He's got the Raiders in the playoff hunt, something we haven't been able to say for some of our lifetimes, if you're young enough, and 19 touchdowns against just 4 interceptions for Derek Carr. He's got 2 very good receivers to throw to, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Almost identical stats for both of them. It means that the Vikings can't just put Xavier Rhodes on one of them and try to shut one guy down. They got to play both guys honestly. That will be a challenge for this Vikings defense. Teddy Bridgewater, just 6 passing touchdowns so far this year, but should have a great day of success against possibly the worst secondary in all of the NFL. No team is allowing more passing yards than the Oakland Raiders. 325 passing yards per game, and they've given up multiple touchdowns to every quarterback but one this year. Teddy, poised for a breakout game. This could be the one. One matchup to watch for Viking fans, it's slot receiver Jarius Wright against arguably the worst slot corner in the NFL, DJ Hayden. That's a matchup Teddy Bridgewater can exploit. And speaking of exploitable matchups, let's go to Adrian Peterson. Any game can be a big game. The Raiders just gave up 170 yards to Pittsburgh running back D'Angelo Williams. Now, normally this has been a pretty good run defense, but that was a huge lapse. This is potentially a good game for Adrian, although probably not a huge game for him against a team that has been pretty solid against the run all year. And that's everything you need to know about this week's adversary, the Oakland Raiders.
Let's keep talking Raiders. It's time for 3 threats. Nate Vaughn, take it away.
The first threat we're going to look at is actually a combination of 2 players, both new additions to the Oakland Raiders this year, one via the draft and one via free agency. Amari Cooper, their first round pick, and Michael Crabtree, their addition in free agency. Mm-hmm. So a pair of new receivers that are doing almost all of the receiving for the Oakland Raiders so far this year. And they're really, I mean, both of them, technically, Crabtree has more catches than Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's getting a lot of the publicity, but, I mean, it's tough. If you try to take one away, the other is going to tear you apart and vice versa.
That's exactly where I was going to go on this, Nate. I looked at the Raiders' stats for the season, and I was surprised at this. Amari Cooper has more receiving yards than Michael Crabtree, so that didn't surprise me. But here's what did surprise me. Michael Crabtree has more receptions, 2 more receptions than Cooper, more touchdowns, 1 more touchdown, and more catches of 20-plus yards. So you're right. This is not a Derek Carr to Amari Cooper show. It's partially the show, but it's also Michael Crabtree. And a lot of, like, the one play, I guess, or the one set that I think you really have to watch out for, and we broke it down on Vikings.com earlier this week. The Raiders love to put Derek Carr in the gun, put a running back next to him, and have a 3-by-1 set at the wide receiver position. They have Amari Cooper on the far outside on the side with three receivers, and they have Michael Crabtree as the lone receiver on the other side of the formation. And what they'll do is they'll use some form of a zone read, read option, play action fake, where they have a guard pull, which captures the attention of a linebacker, play action fake, they'll throw a wide receiver screen to Amari Cooper. After they do that a few times, the free safety in the middle of the field will start to cheat over to the side with the three receivers and the wide receiver screen, and now you have a one-on-one matchup on the bottom with Michael Crabtree. So this is a very dynamic duo for the Raiders. Both of these guys are productive so far. Amari Cooper has been getting all the attention, as you have said. Michael Crabtree has been every bit, if not more, productive than Amari Cooper, and you're going to have to watch out for both guys. On top of the fact, you got to watch out for the running game because the Raiders can run the ball if they need to, but there's no doubt about it. Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree combined to make one great threat for the Raiders offense.
The second threat we're going to look at is the gentleman throwing the passes to them.
Right.
We're going to look at Derek Carr. Church said he's quietly putting together a potential offensive MVP season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if most people would go quite that far, but definitely a respectable quarterback that you're going to have to be on top of your game against.
No doubt about it. I mean, let me throw some numbers out at you, and I want you to guess what it is.
Okay.
19-4.
Touchdown to interception ratio.
Pretty good, right?
That is good.
63.7.
Pass completion percentage.
Yes. Very good, right?
So this is good.
104.3.
Quarterback rating.
Yes. Very good numbers by Derek Carr. Very good job by you.
Thank you.
Very good. I should have
you want to make sure that didn't go unnoticed.
Right, I know you're a very big attention guy, so I want to make sure. Just kidding, you're not. But I mean, those numbers are very good. Now the Raiders are 4-4, so he's not MVP guy because you know the MVP is going to come from a team that's 12-4, 11-5, won their division. That's who the MVP is going to be. Now, the Raiders could get there, but right now they're not there. They're 4-4. But Derek Carr's numbers, requisite of those of an MVP candidate, no doubt about it. So, Charge, it sounded like he was making a preposterous statement going out on a limb, but when you look at just Derek Carr's numbers, he might be onto something there. Very good player. He's protecting the ball. He's being protected, and he can make all the throws on the field. There were some limitations to Nick Foles' game, I think. There are some limitations to some other quarterbacks that the Vikings have played this season to their games. There are no limitations to Derek Carr's game. He can do everything you want your quarterback to do, and the Vikings defense better find a way to get to him or else those awesome numbers that he's putting up, he's going to keep putting them up against us.
For the third threat, we're going to turn around to the Oakland Raiders defensive backfield and look at really a guy that's just become an indestructible force, yeah. Charles Woodson, mm-hmm. putting together one of, if not the best years of his career. Now, what, 37 years old?
Yeah, I think he's 87, yeah. We mean that with respect. The guy has 8 pass breakups and 5 interceptions this season. I mean, he is, like we talked, like Derek Carr is quietly, MVP candidate. I mean, Charles Woodson is loudly Defensive Player of the Year candidate with those numbers. And like you said, he's 37-some years old. I mean,
I remember him against Green Bay thinking, you know, this is going to be the last year of his career, like 2 or 3 times.
Right. And now he's still going for the Oakland Raiders, which is where he started. He's cool. He's got swag. He's good. He's a ball hawk, too. He's picking off passes. So now he does have an injury, a shoulder injury. So we're going to have to watch that here at the end of the week, see how much he's practicing and see if he's going to play or not. But, he hurt that shoulder. I think he aggravated it last week but was able to stay in the game. So he's tough. He's productive. And I have a feeling he's probably heart and soul of that defense, too. So definitely a threat that you have to watch.
All right. Now, next up, we're going to take a fan question and ask it to you, Wabi.
Okay. Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This question comes from Jacob R. He says, with rookies Stephon Diggs and Eric Kendricks performing at a high level, they have made us forget a little bit about Trey Waynes, our first pick. Do you think that Trey will be a part of the Vikings defense this season?
Aha.
And I'm assuming by a part, he means a bigger part.
Right. Because
we've seen him play.
Right. We have seen him play. I think it was maybe in Chicago where they took Terrence Newman out a little bit, or maybe Kansas City where they took Terrence Newman out and they were basically rotating Newman and Waynes in the game in the second half. Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. We're halfway through the season, and there's a lot of football to go. And so you certainly don't want to forecast an injury, but you know that they're part of the game. And in a passing league that we're in right now, with two games to go against Green Bay, a team that loves to throw the ball a ton, the Arizona Cardinals love to throw the ball a ton, the Chicago Bears like to throw the ball a ton, you know, there are going to be opportunities for Trey Waynes to play. And it could be because a starter goes down and Trey is thrust into the starting lineup, or it could be because we need to play with four corners on the field for a lot of the game. And in that case, I think Trey's going to see some action as well. So, yeah, the simple answer to the question is yes. You're going to see Trey Waynes at some point this season get more playing time. That would be my prediction. Now, if he doesn't, I think that's a good thing, because it doesn't mean that Trey isn't good enough to play. It means that three guys who are ahead of him right now are playing well enough to stay ahead of him. That's what that means. And then I know that Marcus Peters for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was drafted behind Waynes, has been playing the whole season, but the Chiefs went through some injuries in the secondary, which is not a good thing, and that's kind of part of the reason that Marcus Peters has had to play. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Trey Waynes not playing and sitting there learning from Xavier Rhodes, learning from Terrence Newman, learning from Captain Munnerlyn here in his rookie season. You know, that can be good for his development. At the same time, if he was thrust into action, I think he would be able to perform and play well. He actually had a key pass breakup in last week's game in the victory over the Rams, and he's playing very well on special teams as a gunner on the punt team, and he leads us in special teams tackles. So this is not Trey Waynes isn't what he thought he was, so we're not playing him. This is we got three good ones ahead of him, and he's doing a great job on special teams, so we're just going to go with the development route on defense, let him be a star on special teams, and just go that route. So I'm happy with how it's been going with Trey, but I do think there are going to be more opportunities more than likely for Trey to play on defense over the final eight games and hopefully a playoff run.
All right, now we're going to take a look at over-unders for this coming game. The first we're going to take a look at is cumulative distance of Blair Walsh field goals.
Ooh, you're getting creative here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can't do the same ones every week.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
So let's keep a few things in mind. This does not include extra points. So extra points are out of the question. Uh-huh. And this has nothing to do with the amount of field goals.
Right.
He attempts or makes. It's just the distance of made field goals by Blair Walsh.
In this game. All right.
So I'm just going to blatantly throw a number out there, and I'm going to say 108.5 yards, since it's got to be over or under. Safe to put it at a 0.5. So 108.5 yards of field goal goodness from Blair Walsh. What say you?
Ooh, man. Well, I mean, I hope we kick zero field goals and score six touchdowns, you know, so
that would be the under.
Then I would take under, right? I'm going to take the over, though. Blair is feeling it. I think he's made 14 or 15 consecutive. He's made his last two from 50 plus. A 50-yard field goal, now that's going to help me out here.
That's true.
You know, but we are in Oakland. It's windy in that part of the country. God, this is a good number. I'm taking over, though.
Okay. Over 108.5 field goal yards.
Over.
For Blair Walsh. The second over-under we're going to look at is tackles for Linval Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Has been playing very solid all year long, really. You saw a big number of tackles from him last week. You don't always see that from defensive tackles, even when they're playing as well as he is.
Right.
So he had 10 last week. If I put the over-under at 6.5 tackles, not even tackles for loss, but tackles, what would you take from Linval Joseph? Also, keep in mind, Sharif Floyd is probably back. So Sharif could maybe steal one or two of those from him.
Well, as you said, Linval had 10 last week, and Linval leads all defensive tackles in solo tackles, okay, with 26.
Okay.
But I'm going to go under.
Under.
Now,
it's a decently high number.
Let me tell you why I'm taking the under.
Okay.
First of all, the door is shut here at Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, so Linval can't get in here to get me. That's for saying under.
Well, we think.
Right. Well, he probably could, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of him because he can't see me and he's not listening to me. So that's one reason I felt okay saying under.
Okay.
Second reason is I dare the Oakland Raiders to run the ball at Linval Joseph. I mean, it might be the cutest thing ever if they try and do it at first, and then they're just not going to try anymore. It's the equivalent of Darrelle Revis being on the field, and you tell your quarterback, just find number 24 and don't throw it to the receiver that he's guarding. Just go to the other side of the field. I think that's what they'll do to Linval in the running game. They're very good offense in terms of pass protection and passing yards. That's what they do really well, and I think they're going to lean on that against us, and that's going to take Linval out of the game when it comes to box score stats, tackles, and sacks. That kind of takes him out. Linval can still be effective eating up double teams and giving his teammates one-on-one opportunities across the board. If you got to double Linval, you can't double Everson then. And you can't double Sharif, right? So, I mean, you can't double everyone. They're going to double Linval. So I think we can be productive as a defense against this offense, but I think Linval is going to be the one whose stats are sacrificed to yield that production for other players.
All right, and for the final over-under, kind of a uncommon game last week between the Rams and the Vikings in that, one, Jeff Fisher attempted a two-point conversion attempts in the first quarter. Right. You don't see that very often at all. And then to some extent, as a result of that, we attempted one
right
later in the game. We converted ours. They didn't, which is nice. But you saw two two-point conversion attempts fairly early in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put the over-under at two-point conversion attempts in this game at 0.5 for the entire game. Mm-hmm. So looking back to last week, do you think there will be any two-point conversion attempts in this game at all?
I'll say no.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that Mike Zimmer wants to get all funky and creative and tricky and go for two a bunch. I think Mike Zimmer goes for two when it's necessary. And I think with the way Blair Walsh is kicking right now, you know, you don't have any qualms about sending him out for that 33-yard PAT. Same could be said for the Raiders. I don't think Jack Del Rio is, you know, sabermetrics, let's get fancy and creative and go for two when we don't need to guy. He's hardcore black and blue division, former Viking.
Black and silver.
Well, yeah, he's black and silver now, but
yeah,
he was a linebacker for us in the black and blue division, Nate.
Gotcha.
And I think that he's kind of like that, like Zimmer is. Like, I'm not going to go for two unless I need to. And so, you know, I think this is going to be one of those just straightforward, score touchdowns, kick extra points, kick field goals, need a stop defensively to win the game type of game, and I'll go under on total two-point conversions at 0.5, under.
Okay. Now, finally, to round the Wobcast up, we're going to take a look at, obviously, we want the Vikings to do well, but there's a few other teams that you listed to me that we're also going to be cheering for this week. Do you want to talk a little bit about those?
All right, Vikings fans. Yes, I do, Nate. Vikings fans, you are Miami Dolphins fans this week. You might ask why. Well,
why?
Because they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, Nate.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Eagles are not in our division, but if we are unable to win our division, we're going to be vying for a wild card spot. And the Philadelphia Eagles are a team that will also be vying for a wild card spot if they don't win their division this season. The NFC East is a very muddled division right now, but the Giants are leading. The Eagles are right behind them. So as it goes in the wild card chase, we want the Eagles to lose games. And we don't get to play the Eagles this season, so we can't put a loss on them ourselves. So we want every team that has a chance to put a loss on them to put a loss on them. This week, it's the Miami Dolphins. So we are Ryan Tannehill, Lamar Miller, and Jarvis Landry fans this week as they take on the Eagles. For the second one, I'm going to tell you about a team that most people, unless you are a fan of this team, you cheer against them, the New England Patriots. But Vikings fans, you are Patriots fans this week. Why is that? Well, they play the New York Giants. And the New York Giants also in that NFC East. Now, they are a division-leading team. Therefore, you wouldn't look at them as a wild card contender. But two reasons to root against them. Number one is it's a muddled division over there in the East. And in a week's time, the Giants could go from division leaders to wild card contenders, at which point you may be competing against them for a wild card. And so you want the Giants to have as many losses as possible. Now, unlike the Eagles, the Vikings do play the Giants later this season. So you get a crack at them and you get a chance to put a loss on them yourselves. But leading up to that game, and since that game is not until week 16, we'd like other teams to put losses on them. Secondarily, the Giants could win their division and we could win our division. And if that happens, you want the Giants to have a worse record than you so that you're a higher seed, so that you have a better chance to host a home playoff game if you play them, and you have a better chance perhaps to have a home field advantage in the playoffs. So that's another reason for the Giants to lose.
What else, Wobby?
Okay, two more. The Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals play the Seattle Seahawks, a team that right now does not lead their division, but a team that is notorious for late season runs to go ahead and win their division and make the playoffs. So, and you might be competing against the Seahawks for a wild card spot. So I think that what you want to do in the West is have one team win it and root for all the other teams to fall off. So with where we are right now, you'd want the Arizona Cardinals to continue on their impressive early season run, continue that throughout the late stages of the season, win the division, drop the Seahawks down. Lastly, a team you thought you'd never root for, the Chicago Bears. You, Vikings fans, are Bears fans this weekend because they play the St. Louis Rams, a team you just defeated, but a team that will not go away easily, a team that looks to be in the wild card chase. You want the Rams to have another loss on their record to knock them down a peg when it comes to the wild card, because you may be competing with them as well for a wild card spot.
Okay, so not only Vikings fans, but fans of a lot of other NFL teams this season.
Yeah, four of them.
This week.
Miami, Chicago, New England, Arizona. Those are the teams you're rooting for aside from the Vikings, if you're a Vikings fan this weekend.
Sounds like a lot of football to be watched.
Well, I mean, we all want to watch as many games as possible, and, you know, we don't play till 3 o'clock. So, I mean, a lot of these games are being played Sunday at noon. So you get to cheer for like Miami, Chicago, and New England at noon, cheer for the Vikings at 3, and then cheer for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday Night Football because they play the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday night. So
sounds like a good Sunday to me.
Yeah, you got some teams to root for in every time slot on Sunday. Speaking of time slots, folks, remember the Vikings and the Raiders, they play on Sunday, but kickoff central time is 3:05, not noon. Adjust your Sunday schedules accordingly. Vikings and Raiders play 3:05 p.m. central time in Oakland. You can catch the game on Fox, or you can catch it on the Vikings Radio Network, where Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call from Oakland. In the meantime, we encourage you to go to Vikings.com and check out some of our content. Mike Zimmer was wired for last week's victory over the St. Louis Rams. You can watch some of his reactions as the game unfolded. 96 Questions with B-Rob is a popular segment. That will be up on Vikings.com late in the week. And of course, we have segments from Vikings Game Plan that will be posted up there, and lots of other stuff for you to go and check out. We also encourage you to download the Vikings app if you haven't done that, and you can get all of our content delivered straight to your mobile device. Pro Bowl 3-2. Pro Bowl balloting is open. 1/3 of Pro Bowl voting is dedicated to the fans, so you as fans right now can go to Vikings.com, look at the top of the page, you'll see a hyperlink that says Pro Bowl voting, click on that link, it will take you to your ballot, and you can vote for who you think should go to the Pro Bowl this season. I encourage you to go to the defensive tackle spot and click on Linval Joseph, because that guy is playing as well as any defensive player is playing in the NFL so far this season, and he deserves your vote. That's going to do it for this episode of the Wobcast. On behalf of producer extraordinaire Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We will be back next week, early in the week, hopefully reviewing a Vikings victory over the Oakland Raiders. And if that does indeed happen, they will be 7-2 with a battle against the Green Bay Packers on the horizon. Until early next week, folks, that is all. We'll talk to you next time.